For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Yes, it is. This is the Monday Waffle podcast for the Round 7 edition. I'm your host, Stuart Marshall, and joining the studio with me today is my colleagues, Hayley Goddard and Chloe Newman. Hello, girls. How are we?
Hey, good, thanks.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Feeling good about the waffle action on the weekend?
Yeah, but when it's that much of a run over, you just get a bit bored, don't you?
Yeah, you can get a little bored when there's a lot of one-sided competition in a football league. And obviously, the waffle action resumed last Saturday following the state game the week prior. And again, it saw the top three teams in Subi, South Freer and West Perth record wins by a combined 248 points. So what does that tell you, Hayley?
It was pretty hard out there if you were not those top three.
Exactly. And yeah, so Perth also won a heartstopper over Claremont by a point, which was the match of the round from a viewer's perspective. But as I mentioned, the competition did take a break 2 weeks ago, as the Waffle State team went to Adelaide and defeated South Australia by 26 points to make it 6 consecutive victories in that tie. But the 4 matches over the weekend saw Subiaco defeat Peel Thunder 21-14, 140 to 7-6, 48. So another absolute shellacking from Subi to another side. South Freo beat East Perth 18-13, 121 to 8-5, 53. West Perth downed East Fremantle 24-14, 158 to 10-10, 70. So there you go, 3 big victories for the first 3 games. And Perth, in the only tie one of the round, beat Claremont 15-9-99 to 14-14-98. So I did actually try to get Tom Ledger on the podcast from Claremont, but he knocked me back because he was still unhappy with losing by a point on the weekend. So I will keep trying to get him on the podcast over the coming weeks. So if you do like Tom Ledger, be sure to stick around and listen to that podcast in the coming weeks. But yes, South Freer now sits in second place ahead of West Perth, East Perth and Swan Districts, while Subi are clear on top of the ladder, recording a 6-0 start to the season and a percentage of 239.2. Imagine if that was in the AFL, Hayley. Chloe.
You wouldn't get anywhere near it.
No, I don't think there'd be anyone turning up to the games. But anyway, let's get into the match reports for this weekend's round of football. Hayley, who did you watch?
I had a look at Peel Thunder and Subiaco Lions. It was a pretty woeful performance at home from Thunder. They went down 48 to the Lions, 140.
So a near on 100-point loss from Peel, who started the season fairly well, but have dropped off as the weeks have gone on. So not good signs there for the Fremantle aligned team.
No, not at all. It was pretty good start, really. Peel Thunder were was all Peel Thunder, I should say, in the opening term of the game against Subiaco at Bendigo Bank on Saturday. Thunder booted 4 goals to the Lions, 2 goals and 4 behinds, but it quickly went downhill after that. The Lions kicked 3 unanswered goals before the 15-minute mark of the second term and then went on to finish the quarter with 6 goals and 3 behinds to only 1 goal, 1 for Peel.
Not good.
No.
Not good at all.
Subi kept the Thunder goalless for the third term, and by the three-quarter time, Peel had only added 10 points to their score since the first term, yet the Lions had booted an impressive 16 goals, 11, including 8 majors in that third term. And then the margin just blew out even further from there in the fourth quarter, with the Lions scoring another 5 goals, 3 behinds to the Thunder's 2-2.
And we talked about this on the podcast, Sam and I, in previous weeks, that Subi are incredibly good at running out the game. And we do have an interview with Cam Eardley coming up on the podcast, and he does touch on that. Subi are just a class above everybody else in the league. So, yeah, a really hard team to stop.
They are. Kyle Horsley was the standout for the Lions with 41 disposals. The closest anyone came to his great performance was Lee Kitchen with 29, and Stefan Giro had the most for Thunder with 27.
There you go.
And in terms of goals, Benjamin Newton had a cracking day at the office, booting 5 goals. Reece Waters and Brad Stevenson bagged 3 apiece.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the leading goal scorer for the Thunder was Luke Stranicka on 2. I apologise, Luke, if I pronounced your surname incorrectly.
I'm sure he listens.
Best on ground for Thunder was Stradika, Gyro, Shane Kirsten and Ben Howlett. And Aaron Hill, Zach Clark, Kitchen and Horsley, as well as Newton, were the standouts for the Lions.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I had a look at the East Perth v South Fremantle game, and those two sides met at Leaderville Oval. And both teams were going into the match on four-game winning streaks. But, of course, as the way is with football, only one team prevails generally. You know, and it was an even contest for the most of the first half, with East Perth leading by a point at the 19-minute mark of the second quarter when Braden Ainsworth goaled. But from that point on, South Fremantle dominated, kicking 12 of the game's last 13 goals to win by 68 points and make it five wins in succession to sit clear in the second place on the waffle ladder. So, Subi and South Freo are now the top two sides. Mm. Corey DeLolio kicked four for the Bulldogs, Mason Shaw three, Hayden Schloyth two, Brandon Donaldson two, and Ben Saunders two. Reigning Sandover medalist Hayden Schloyth also collected 27 touches for South Freo. Shane Hockey, 27. Marlene Pickett, 24. Nick Subin, ex-Docker, 20. Jake Florenka, 20. And captain Dylan Main, 20 disposal to go with a mammoth 14 tackles. Willie Magnus and Braden Ainsworth kicked two goals apiece for East Perth, whose cause wasn't helped by losing Will Schofield and Asher Samelko to injuries in the first quarter. But for East Perth, Ainsworth finished with 27 touches, Nathan Bleed 24, Magnus 23, Luke Partington 23, Matthew Allen 21, Patrick McGinnity 20, and Sherrod Willingham 20. So two ex-Eagles still getting the ball in the waffle. Chloe, what did you have a look at?
Well, I had a look at the Falcons-Sharks game at Joondalup Arena on Saturday, and basically the Falcons smashed it, winning 158-70. West Perth had an early lead, scoring 7 goals, 3 in the first quarter to the East Frio's 2-2. The Falcons steamed ahead in the second term, booting another 6 goals, 1 behind to Sharks, 3 goals, 4 behind. And then it was a fairly quiet third quarter for each side. West Perth kept East Frio goalless with just 1 behind on the board, and the Falcons scored 3 goals, 7 points. West Perth ran away with it in the final term, so that's good for West Perth supporters, scoring another 9 goals to the Sharks, 5-3. And as for, you know, the top performers, George Hampson, that really wasn't a difficult name to say, I don't know why I stumbled, had 26 disposals, which was the most for the Sharks, but the Falcons' Shane Nelson had a stellar day with 39 disposals, closely followed by Aaron Black with 37. Falcons' Andrew Strike scored a whopping 8 goals, with Michael Lurie, Tyler Keitel, and Stephen Potente? I am so sorry. Yes. He scored 3 apiece, so well done to him and the other players. Sharks Cameron Law, Sean Falker, Jesse Wine put in a good effort in scoring 2 goals each.
Sweet. And to wrap up the round, Claremont took on Perth at Claremont Oval in what proved to be the only watchable game of the weekend, I would say. Claremont, however, at home, couldn't get up, and it's been a tough season for Claremont, losing by a point in this one. But the Tigers and the Demons had both just won once in their opening 5 games of the season, which sort of heightened the importance of this match. And as I mentioned, it ended up going right down to the wire, with Perth coming from behind in the last 8 minutes with the final 4 scoring shots of the match, one of which was a goal to Lachlan Dennis to snatch the victory with a behind to captain Clint Jones with just seconds left on the clock. So
what a way to win.
It would have been a real nail-biter to watch. And for the neutral, definitely would have been one of those matches that you turn on the TV and you stumble upon, and then you're really happy that you took the time to watch it.
You're engaged.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who wins.
No, it doesn't.
It's a gripping game.
So Blake Johnson kicked 4 goals for Perth. Brant College kicked 3. Cody Nignette 2. And Christian Carey 2. Ex-St Kilda man in the AFL and back in the waffle for a few years now, Clint Jones amassed 31 touches for the Demons, Cody Leggett 24, and as Sam has said, Leggett has the biggest leg in football, Brent Edmonds 20 and Lane Wilkins 19, Tom Lee booted 4 goals for Claremont, Bo Maester 4 and Jai Bolton 2, bear with me here, my computer isn't loading, Tommy Ledger, who refused to come on the podcast this week because they lost, did have a pretty good game. He had 25 touches.
See, that's nothing to be upset about.
I hope he listens to this and I hope he hears how angry we are. But anyway, we're going to get you, Tom. Kane Mitchell compiled 40 touches for the Tigers. As I mentioned, Tom Ledger, 25. Hayden Buescher, 23. Ian Richard, 20. Tom Curran, 20. And Bailey Rogers, 20. All for Claremont. But yeah, a fairly lopsided round of football, I would say, girls. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it was pretty dismal if you were trying to watch an entertaining game of footy and sorely that did not happen.
Not at all, Hayley. Well done. You got that one out. Anyway, that was the round of football, and it's now time for the tips here on the Monday Waffle Podcast.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
Alrighty, girls, it is business time here on the Monday Waffle Podcast. It's tipping time. Hayley, East Perth play Swan Districts at Leaderville Oval this Saturday, the 26th of May, being broadcast live on Channel 7. Who are you going to pick?
I'm going to go for Swans over the Royals. They've had a week off. I think they might do some good.
Chloe?
No, I'm tipping East Perth for this one.
Yep, I am also tipping East Perth for this one. At home down there at Leaderville Oval, I reckon they're going to get up. South Freo are playing Claremont at Fremantle Community Bank Oval. Claremont haven't been in much good nick recently. I'm personally going to go South Freo. Hayley?
I'm with you. I'm with the Bulldogs.
Chloe?
South Freo.
All right. East Freo play Peel at East Fremantle Oval, 2:15 on Saturday again. All the matches are playing on Saturday this weekend. Peel got shellacked last week by Subi. I reckon they're going to bounce back this week, Hayley. I'm going to tip Peel.
You're going to go with Thunder? It's a bit of a tough call. I don't really know, but I think East Freo, it's about time they had a win. I'm going to go for the Sharks.
Chloe?
Nah, I agree with you, Stu. I'm going to say Peel.
All right, the final game of the round is Perth v Subi, 2:15 at Lathlane Park on Saturday as well. No chance anyone's beating Subiaco this season. Subiaco, for me, by roughly 75 points.
I haven't thought about a margin, but I'm definitely going for the Lions.
Subi, away.
Alrighty, West Perth do have the bye this weekend in round 8 of the waffle season. But that brings us to the end of our tipping segment here on the podcast. And we're now going to go to our interview with Cam Eardley from the East Freo Sharks. Yeah, East Freo came up against West Perth on the weekend, Cameron.
Yep.
Obviously, it was a fairly hefty loss there. What did you make of it?
We went to the game with a lot of confidence, but yeah, we've got outplayed. It was probably mainly our skills and turnovers that cost us goals. I think they scored maybe 15 of their goals from direct turnovers, so that's what really hurt us. Yeah.
You had a pretty good game yourself, collecting 21 touches. How did you think you went personally?
Yeah, not too bad. I was actually a culprit for a couple of the turnovers, which didn't help. It was my first game back in a month from a shoulder injury, so it was good to get out and get through the game without an injury. But yeah, it went okay, I guess.
How do you see your team going this season? Do you expect to make finals, or how do you think it'll all shape up?
We're still very hopeful to play finals. We're still only two games out of the finals, so the bottom four teams or five teams, I think, there's still only two games in it. So and with still 12 games to play or 11 games to play. It's still absolutely possible for us to play finals, yeah. And we're still striving to play finals, absolutely.
Of course. And Subiaco, of course, are the runaway or the best team in the league at this stage. What's it like playing in the same league as them?
I think they've proved to everyone that they're just the class above.
certainly
we played
are.
Played them in a practice match and, yeah, they just... Even in the practice match, they were... they were too good and they've proved that, 7 wins straight or something. So, I'm not sure what we'll do heading into the game, but we'll just treat it like any other game. But they are definitely flying along pretty well at the moment.
They are. George Hampson, for you guys, has obviously had a big season. How do you think he's been going?
Yeah, great. He's a great player. It's really good to have him injury-free because he's essentially unlucky with injury. So when we can get him playing consistent games and string consistent games together, he's definitely one of our better players and the game winner in that sense. He just knows where the goals are and has a big influence on the game.
Yeah, and Jonathan Griffin as well, coming back from Fremantle, from the Dockers. What's it been like having him in the side this season?
Yeah, good. It was good to have a senior bloke come back. So he came back and he jumped straight into our skipper role. So he's our captain. Obviously, just with all his experience and he's an ex-Sharks boy, so... He's always played for the club, so it was sort of a no-brainer for us to offer him the role of captain, and he's taken it really well and is leading really well. Probably, you know, pretty tough for him in this stage, but he's remained really positive and continues to lead us every week, which is really good.
And he still dominated the hitouts on the weekend, collecting 30 to Christopher Coonan's 17, so he's obviously still fairly influential around the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's just had a little injury on his calf as well, so that was his first game back in a couple of weeks, so I assume he'll only get better. But no, he played really well on the weekend.
Beautiful. All right, well, it's now time for the fact check.
It's the fact check on the Monday Waffle.
With Cam Early. Hayley, take it away.
Who's the most annoying player?
The most annoying player? Probably Nick Comer, because he doesn't stop moving or talking. He's just a ball of energy. He never stops.
Ex-AFL player Nick Comer, that is.
Yeah, he's like
Energizer buddy, hey?
Yeah, he is.
So who smells the worst?
Who smells the worst? Well, I lock it right next to Matthew Jupp, so I'd have to say Juppy only because I'm next to him all the time.
And who watches the mirror most often when they're doing the weights, you know, pumping it up?
Looks at themselves the most.
Who looks at themselves the most? Probably my old captain, Jamie McNamara. But he's got he probably can look in the mirror. He's a good-looking rooster.
You can back it up.
Yeah, you can back it up, that's right.
The slowest player?
The slowest player? Probably myself, actually. No, I'm going to throw Juppy under the bus again. I'm going to throw Juppy under the bus again and say Juppy. Matt Jupp,
all right. What's the coach's favourite saying?
The coach's favourite saying? What's Rob's favourite saying? That's a good question. Make your first contest your best contest.
Always going hard early, get the adrenaline going, I bet.
Yeah. Yep.
Who has the biggest off season and comes back in the worst nick?
James Harold. James Harold, yeah, definitely.
And what does he get up to in his off season to make him come back in the worst nick?
I think he enjoys a quiet beer.
Quiet beer.
Just a quiet beer or two, yeah.
That probably is into our next question, which is who can't say no to a beer?
Nick Comer again.
Nick Comer again, really?
And just on that, what's your fave beer?
My favourite beer?
Yes.
I'm right on the Colonial Drafts at the moment, if you've had them.
I haven't.
In little white cans.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I have, yeah.
They're really
like
good.
The small ale. I know it's like the mid-strength, but it tastes good.
Is that Colonial Draft? Is a
Colonial Brewery,
Yeah. No, they make good beers. I've had them the last couple of weekends. They've been good.
Beautiful. All right. Who most likely to miss Sunday recovery? Because they're hungover.
Jack Perham, one of our players, actually did that a few weeks ago.
Really? How'd it go down with the coach?
Not great. And I don't think it was being hungover, but I think he just slept in. He was a bit clueless. So.
Just missed his alarm.
Yeah, missed his alarm.
All right. Jonathan Griffin, the new skipper. What's been his best rev up for a game?
He usually gives us a stock standard talk before we go out. A lot of yelling, a lot of just, your cliche comments, but they've been good.
They've been good. All right.
Yeah.
And the last one, who's the biggest suck up to the coach?
Who's the biggest suck up to the coach? Suck up to the coach? Let me think. It's a tough question. Maybe Jonathan Marks.
Always in the coach's office.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep.
All right, Cam, look, we'll leave the fact check there. That has been the fact check here on the Monday Waffle podcast. But we very much appreciate you coming on the podcast today, Cam Early from the East Freo Sharks. Thanks again.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
That was the Round 7 edition of the Monday Waffle podcast. We'll be back next week to cover the Round 8 games. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.